Well, good evening, everybody, and welcome to our March Digging Deeper into DISC call. This is Barbara Meese, and I am one of the directors of leadership development at Lead Like Jesus, and I'm thrilled to be your host tonight on this call. We are just delighted to have Professor Kenvoges with us this evening, and we welcome our special guests, David and Tess Lee, who have agreed to join us on this call for their relationship report debrief. And in just a few minutes, I'm going to turn the call over to Ken and let him do a little bit of introductory remarks and formally introduce Ken and Tess to you. But before we do that, I would like to start our call tonight in prayer. So let's pray. Father God, well, we come to you, we come into your presence so aware of our human frailty and yet so overwhelmed by your love for us. Help us, Father, to grasp how marvelous your love is and grant us the beauty of seeing how wide and deep and love your is for us. And Lord, we want this love to flow from us to others, especially in our families, our children, and our spouses. And I thank you today for giving us the opportunity to learn how to love one another in a way that honors you. I thank you for David and Tess and Ken for their willingness to take part in our practitioner call this evening. And Lord, I just pray that you would be with them now and bless our time together. We ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. So, Ken, this is your call, so I'm going to turn it over. You can make any introductory remarks or introductions, and then you can begin the debrief at your time, and then when you're done, we'll open the call up for questions.
Sounds great, Barbara. I really appreciate the opportunity to go ahead and talk to the group, and particularly Tess and David. I want the listeners to go ahead and first find page number 4 of their relationship survey to bring that up. So as I begin to talk about that, but before I really get into that, I just want to give a little background on David and Tess, and I just want to get into why in the world did I pick them. And the reason I picked them was because they're so dissimilar in their behavior. Tess has if you're looking at page number 4, she's got some D tendencies, but they're also C, and which means she's very task-driven, and biblical character is the Apostle Paul. And in David's case, he's an SI, and it's relationship-driven, and his biblical character is like Abraham. What that suggests is their needs are different and in some cases very, very incongruent. And so it's going to take some real effort on both of their parts to go ahead and talk through their differences. They're also dissimilar in age, and they have a dissimilar background. Where they are similar are two key areas that they've previously been married and both have been divorced. So they've gone through the pain of divorce, which is very, very important for them to understand where they're coming from. Most important, as far as I'm concerned, is their values. Their values align. Both of them know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, and of course the Holy Spirit, which is the same in both of them. My understanding in dealing with them, both have been made, you know, a conscientious effort to commit themselves to be a student of each other's needs in order to go ahead and make those needs. It really, they are very, very aware of the fact it takes hard work. And what they need to do is to go ahead and use the knowledge of the DISC behavior material to understand those differences and those challenges. It's been my pleasure over these many years to go ahead and know them. They know I know their warts and they know mine, and they still love us, still love me. We've previously spent hours together talking strategies, praying together toward doing a better job loving each other. Our time today is to review some of the things they've learned using the relational report. We've gone through this and have spent some time doing that. We hope that what we say you can use to go ahead, those that are listening, to use this tool that has been very helpful to understand needs. And let me go ahead and go through the page four and talk about their profiles and get some observations there. I will focus primarily on the natural style. And when we look at that, David and Tess, you're both looking at Pope, right? Okay.
I'm sorry, what was that? What was that, Ken?
I made a comment to David and Tess that they're looking at page four. Is that correct? Or are you looking at that particular page? What is that you're very, 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 very different, and that there is a tremendous amount of difference between the D, the I, the S, and C continuum. So basically what that suggests is you solve problems differently. And so with that being said, I'd like to go ahead and talk about the fact that what I always do is I go ahead and go to page number three to go ahead and go through a little validation process. And what I did is I asked David and Tess to go ahead and look at their high styles. And Tess's case, the D continuum was where I had her focus, and also the C continuum. And what I had her do is a full force choice thing to circle the one trait within those two continuums that both describes them, and then come up with a total. The strategy behind that, and what I was trying to do is, Tess's graph number, natural style on the four, is a very high D. So my conclusion would be that as she goes through this process, that she would go ahead and circle more Ds, D traits and C traits, and that's exactly what she did. She had eight in the D. And three in the C. So it pretty well validated that. Then I had David go ahead and profile Tess, and he did the same thing. He went ahead and validated that. So we have what we feel like is accurate with regard to the natural style, that Tess is a high D and a C. David do his, and he came up with very high in the S, which was seven on the S, and then three on the I. So again, what I'm really concerned about is if the information on page four is accurate, and it was, and they were able to validate that. So we have a good tool. It's just something that I do, and I encourage those that are listening, as a way you can go ahead and use those two pages to go ahead and make sure that what you have is the validation there in what we're dealing with. All right, having said that, now I'd like to go ahead and go to page five and let you know to go ahead and do it. David and Tess, are you on page five?
Yes.
Yeah, okay, yes. Okay. And what I always do, this is just a technique that I go ahead and go through. I always go ladies first, Tess, so you're going to be up here, okay?
All right.
And what I ask them to do is I like them to go ahead and look at the paragraph there and pick out a couple of words that say, hey, if I were to look at this paragraph, I would pick these words that really accurately go ahead and describe who I am. So if you've done that test, just give us about two or three statements within that paragraph and say, hey, if I had to go ahead and pick the words that really describe me, what would that be? So you're on. What would you pick with regard to describing who you are?
You're talking about within the paragraph, correct?
Within the paragraph, uh-huh.
Yep, goal achievement, results to be perfect, immediate results versus consideration of alternatives.
Okay, and it also says results is important to you. And what is very common with that particular profile, which is meant to be an affirmation here, you're a great problem solver. Do you ever do that in your work, and what do you do?
Problem solve a lot. Yes, I'm a paralegal. I've been a paralegal for 30 years.
So that is a part of what it is that you do on a daily basis in your job, okay? All right, and what if you were to go ahead and you t- pick with regard to your emotional characteristics. That's within within the bullet statements, the emotional characteristics. If you had to go ahead and look at that, it says may shift between being aggressive and restrained. Is that true, or could you elaborate a little bit on that?
There's nothing to elaborate.
And if I need to,
it's absolutely correct. It's right there.
What you're saying is it's correct. Is that correct?
Yes, it is.
That is. You can be if you need to be, you can be aggressive, or you can be somewhat restrained, and it plays between the D and the C. The both of them are, and they're very, very critical with regard to your problem solving methods. So it's very, very, very common giftedness that you have there. All right. Now, Tess, I'm going to shift, okay? I'm going to get David talking here, mm-hmm. okay? So, David, same question here with regard to you and your paragraph, which is, and the thing I like about this tool is that it's side by side. And so you can go ahead and see real quickly the differences that you have. David, if you were to go ahead and pick, let's say, two or three words within that paragraph, what would you say? How would you describe some accuracy within that particular paragraph?
Some of my characteristics are I tend to be supportive and make others feel included. I enjoy I'm service-oriented to helping others. And the one thing I really hate is conflict. I may avoid connections with assertive individuals.
Okay, and it says do not like conflict and may avoid connection with assertive individuals. And who did you marry?
Look who he's married to, exactly.
go ahead.
We kind of scratched our heads on that God has a sense of humor.
And what it says is it real quickly goes ahead. And because the tools are side by side, it just jumps right out at you, you know, that it validates the fact, you know, there's some areas where we're going to have to deal with. I mean, it's just a difference in our lenses and how we go ahead and do it. And then we get into this whole thing called fear. And in your particular case, you fear it as those styles seek to avoid conflict, anger, and disharmony. And the giftedness, and I'm complimenting you, Tess, your giftedness is to look at the flaw in an argument and suggest that it doesn't make logical sense. Is that fair? Has that ever happened?
That is fair, and yes, and I try to do it as gently as I can.
Okay, and what we're talking here again is the adjustments you've had to make based on the information that has been validated. If you didn't have this, there would be that big question mark. What in the world is that? Is David thinking? You know, and that would be the normal thing. But you know that initially how he thinks is normal. And there to be some adjustments in the way you approach him. Are these, and David is the same for you, that it's normal for your giftedness in problem solving is to debate somebody else's conclusions. And you're good at it, and you're very good at it, and that has an incredible strength in what you do, in your job, in your career. But you've got to go ahead and adjust to know when you're in a relationship, maybe I need to go ahead and soften that a little bit. Is that a fair statement?
Maybe.
Okay. Okay, enough said on that. What I'd like to do right now is go, and the way I like this tool put together is the fact that it starts with your strengths. And so I'd like to talk about your strengths a little bit. So that's page 6. And I asked you to go ahead, and the way this works is you pick the two that stick out the most. And so I'm going to go ahead and let you, Tess, go ahead and comment on the two that you picked. And it's the third one, and the next to the last one. Would you just comment on those as in the process of validation? It says you have the ability to use your imagination and take calculated risks and develop new solutions to problems. You want to comment on that? Go ahead.
Yeah. I to be honest, I've never thought of myself as a risk taker. I don't like to try new adventures. And yet when it comes to being faced with situations on a daily basis, this is completely correct. I am a problem solver. I am able to see a situation and my brain just works a certain way and puts things into place. And I come up with a solution. And sometimes it's out of the box. Sometimes it's something that other people don't see. But to me, it makes perfect sense.
Well, what is so unique and so special about your style is that ability to go ahead and challenge when something's not right and then analyze what could make it better. And that is the uniqueness of your particular style in the problem-solving process. You don't instinctively solve. You instinctively see the flaw, but you then go ahead and put logic behind it for the solution. It's an incredible gift, and it's unique to the DC style. I want you to comment a little bit more on your pace, in which it says you are able to find solutions quickly with high degree of quality control. Is that a fair statement? And why is it a fair statement?
Yes, it's a fair statement, generally speaking, and it's even more apparent when you put it up against David's pace. So I seem to work at lightning speed as compared to what you'll deal with when you start to talk about David. Sometimes I don't second guess myself on it. I may later find out that maybe it needs some tweaking, but I find a solution and I act upon it. I don't take a lot of time having to, reevaluate.
Right. And I want to switch over to David and let him go ahead and talk about it. But what really sticks out between the two of you is your pace difference and how those strengths can be utilized together. David, what did you come up with your two?
Well, what I had for my strengths, I said I circled the second one and the third from the bottom. The second one is you bring an extensive base of knowledge, both knowledge and expertise that can be tapped in getting a job done. And I'll expand on that. Because of my profile, I tend to take in lots and lots of information, unlike Tess, I tend to second-guess myself a lot. Mm-hmm. And the other thing is I tend to have the last point is I'm typically ready, willing, and able to assist others with a specialized project. All they have to do is ask. And I think one of the keys there is usually they have to ask. I usually don't put myself there.
You're not the initiator.
No.
And what happens, the difference that you have, Tess is the initiator. And so there's a difference in there. And what we're going to do is we're going to go ahead and get to the pace later on and some of the other exercises to go ahead and talk about that. But I just want to get on the table the strength, and it's important that you go ahead and pick the two and then come up to that conclusion. You know where our strengths are very, very different. And that gives potential for balance. Let me go ahead and go to page 7, which talks about struggles. And I just want to mention it's really important to have this particular page in it because it brings through the point that your greatest weakness or your struggles is connected to your strength. And what you have to understand is that when it gets out of control, then it can go ahead and create the conflict. Tess, you want to go ahead and talk about your two struggles that you came up with. You came up with the third and the fourth one. What are the highlights of that?
If you pull my job into it, I work under constant pressure. I have multiple deadlines going on every hour of every day. So I function just fine that way. And because I make decisions quickly, I drag the other people around me along and put them under pressure that doesn't necessarily work for them.
Okay. And David, what about you? I'm sorry.
Yeah, the rapid burst followed by periods of quiet reflection. Yes, I am also introspective. So even though I make quick decisions and act upon them quickly, I do, after the fact, spend time pondering and thinking and even tweaking or realizing that there might be a better way, but that never sidetracks me from taking an action and taking it quickly.
Mm-hmm. And it, again, validates the whole issue of your pace. Your pace is very, very fast.
Right.
Right. But you validate it too. You have two things that you can bounce back and forth. You can go quickly, but then you validate, come back, and always looking for the best answer. So there is that back and forth that goes into your brain and also affects your action plan. Okay.
And I am able to change my plan if it's validated, or if someone presents something, if David presents something that seems to make more sense later on, I am able to change my decision and my action plan.
Okay. David, let's go with your struggles. What you came up with two.
Well, because I'm such a high S, and my D, those of y'all who look, you'll see my D is nowhere listed. So I prefer to maintain silence if it's a negative situation, and I have to force myself to be proactive to create change. And my strength out of control is great to be easygoing, but sometimes I'm easygoing when I need to take a stand on an issue.
Okay. And in order to go ahead and deal with tests, what you've got to do is take the risk to be assertive. And you have to negotiate that every time, don't you? I mean, it doesn't come natural to you, but you have to negotiate it. And the only thing that there's improvement is the time that it takes to negotiate it to go ahead and be active. Is that a fair statement?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
Can I insert something here, Ken?
Absolutely.
When David goes against his natural tendency and deals with these struggles and perhaps steps up in order to take a stand with me or whatever it might be more vocal, be more assertive, make an opinion faster, it is exhausting for him. It is
Absolutely.
A tremendous strain on his psyche to go that much against his personality.
And your fact that you're aware of that and can go ahead and understand it. Maybe you don't understand it, but you know it's there. That's your testimony to David, to be patient and with that, and to understand it's exhausting. Exhausting. What S's do is when they have that kind of pressure, they take naps. So, you know.
Are you an S, Ken?
Yeah, I'm telling you. Okay.
Well,
David.
Thought, Ken, and that's that knowing that she, even though she's at a much faster pace than me, knowing that I can step into it, even if it's uncomfortable, and she will work to understand, makes a significant difference. And really, we're both working toward the same goal, and we realize that.
Okay. I want to go probably to the most important page, and it's for your listeners to go to page 8. This is the golden nugget in this report, and it puts the communication plan side by side and talks about the do's and the don'ts. And I spent a lot of time, and I don't have a lot of time with regard to the here, but I just want to highlight that. Tess, if there are two things that I need to do for you, what would you say with regard to that? What are the key things that we need to know about you in order to go ahead and make our conversation and our relationship productive?
The first thing is do your homework.
don't fire blanks.
No, if you come into a conversation or a situation, you just start throwing out random words and you have not thought about it or worked through it beforehand, you're better off not saying anything, because I did my homework.
Mm-hmm. I can guarantee you did your homework, and you expect everybody else to go ahead and do it. What's your number two?
Give Tess the opportunity to express opinions and make some of, I like the word some, of the decisions.
Okay. And David is chuckling here. Okay. But what is this? If we're going to have a plan, you want to have some degree of influence in the execution of that plan. Okay. And
correct.
If it doesn't make sense, you're going to say something. And
correct.
I understand that you solve problems by debating my conclusion. Probably the biggest challenge that we have is a misunderstanding of D behavior is the fact that you solve problems by debating my conclusion. For the purpose of having the best plan. And that's how you make decisions.
Or for entertainment.
Okay. All right. Hey, okay. Talk to me a little about the don'ts, Tess. What are we talking about
today? Don't leave things up in the air or decide by chance. Leaving things up in the air, leaving decisions unmade for hours and days at a time or longer, it does not work for me. I do not like uncertainty. And don't fail to follow through. If you say you're going to do something, do it. That is huge for me.
Okay. Are you saying to me, if you had to pick between the two, that last one you mentioned is the one that is the biggest don't? Is that a fair statement?
Yes. And probably because to me that would, to not follow through on something would almost border on lying to me.
Wow.
Does that make sense? Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. I'm going to pass over to David. David, what does it do? What does it do for you as an S?
The do's are the first one and the third from the bottom. First one being plan to talk about things that support David's dreams and goals, because I think I'm more of a big picture and I'm not so much detail oriented. And it's also a verbal affirmation and encouragement. And then add input and provide assurances regarding decisions.
Okay. And assurances, can it be verbal or nonverbal?
It needs to be both, actually.
And the answer is, I always get this from us, is they need both verbal and nonverbal to that. If I came up with a don't, what would be a don't? What would be a don't?
Asking me to agree quickly and comparing my pace and Tess's, they're dramatically different. And as you have said before, a high S has three speeds, slow, slower, and full stop. And that's something that Tess has had to struggle with. I mean, she may understand that logically, but how I function in real life doesn't make much sense to her in that regard, I think.
Yeah, and that should create tension in your relationship, and that's what you've got to go ahead and manage. You've got to figure out how to manage that. Okay.
Correct.
What is the other don't?
Don't be domineering or demanding.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and Tess has got all the talent to do that. And she's got to put that on hold and not to do that. Mm-hmm.
Us, and she also does put it on hold by and large. Mm-hmm. I can see where it can get out of control for a high D. I've known people like that. And it can be pretty, it looks like a battlefield by the time you're through. But she really works at communicating well.
Okay, good enough. I want to go ahead and transition to the page 9 and talk about, just highlight one thing because of time here. And the three R's and the way that's written is all for just on getting on the tape. Each one of these is designed to go ahead and model how Christ or Jesus did it with each one of the biblical characters. But what I'm doing here is highlighting at this point just the tone issue, difference between David and Tess. The tone, it's okay with Tess to be firm and direct. I mean, is that a fair statement, Tess? Just as I can be straight with you, and if I disagree, just say it. Okay?
Absolutely.
And how to relate, be brief and to the point. And then when to reinforce, when you've got everything you need, just get out of the way and let you do it.
Yes.
Are these fair strategies for you?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. And David, I'm going to tell is the thing I want to put on the table is with regard to the S tendency is just you desperately need time to process. To make the best decision. It's processing is very important. And then the tone has to be non-threatening and patient. And to relate, use friendly tones when instructing and be patient, allowing time to take ownership. So I'm coming back to the time thing. There are two big things on this page is the tone of their communication and the difference in the speed in which they have in getting things done. And the briefness or the need for processing. So that gives you that kind of a capsule understanding of how important this particular page is to understand the overall look at what does the environment look like. Then I'm going to go to the next page, which is page 10. And this is an opportunity to go ahead and understand how to write a sentence on a particular subject that is personalized with all four plotting points. I need to put on the table here this important principle that every plotting point on the graph has some important information with regard to needs and talent. And this exercise, this particular one, gives us that insight into understanding the giftedness and task style of each of the styles. So what I'm going to do is, Tess, I'm going to have you read yours, and then I'm going to have you go ahead and David read yours, just so you get the tone. And I always have a couple go ahead and read it to each other. So having said that, I'd like, Tess, I'd like you to go ahead and read yours, if you would. Do you have that page number 10 in front of you? Can you read that?
Yes. As a high DC and low IS blend, I prefer tasks that are challenging and diverse. My work style tends to be decisive and structured. My strengths are being a problem solver and an energy source. Regarding my limitations, I tend to be too intense. Therefore, I need a high S, low D on my team or in my life.
And do you have a relationship with somebody like that?
I did find someone.
And it's David. And the first aha that comes when I have them read this to each other, they validate if opposites attract, they'll have that there. And they don't really realize how much they need that person for balance. And that's why I have them go ahead and read that. And what is interesting about yours, Tess, is that you picked your low style to give that information on your limitation. And so that's what's driving the train here, is your intensity, intensity to get something done. And it partners with your high D. Both those colors are the same. And your highest point and your lowest point are red. And so it would make sense that you are intense, but then we've got to say, okay, how do we complement or how do we take the edge off of that? It is a person that is opposite to that. In other words, the high S, which is the green, and the low D, which is green also, and that's David. So what I'm trying to tell you is that you need David in your life.
That's
now,
right.
Having said that, then I'm going to turn to David. David, read yours.
Sure. As a high SI and a low DC blend, I prefer tasks that are scheduled and routine. My work style tends to be cooperative and instinctive. My strengths are being a supporter and team player. Regarding my limitations, I tend to be too indirect and indecisive. Therefore, I need a high DC, low IS opposite on my team or in my life.
Right. And you know who that is. That's
Tess. Yes, I do. That's her.
That's her. And it's the challenge that we have, how are we going to make that work? How are we going to make this relationship such that we're complementing one another rather than totally disagreeing with one another? In order to go ahead and do it and come up with a strategy, we have to go ahead and validate how to do it wrong. And that's the next two exercises. We need to know what not to do so that we can know what to do. And so I'm going to go there, and I want to go ahead and go to page number 11 here. And it has to do with your communication style. And what is important about this particular exercise, it goes ahead and gives us, validates two very, very critical bits of information. What is your want and what is your fear? Okay, and if the want is not met, fear shows up, conflict occurs. See, that's the progression that happens. So it's important for you to validate it. The thing is, when you do that, you already know this, but you need to go ahead and validate it for the purpose of when it shows up, do I have a positive strategy to keep it from getting out of hand? So here we go, test. Ladies first, you go ahead and read your exercise and tell us what's your communication style like? Page number 11.
I naturally act assertive and responsive because I want control and variety. If I perceive that I may face or my fear is illogical actions or being wrong, I may respond with anger, criticism, or physical action.
What is
physical
important?
Physical action being going out on a run or something, not beating a hole.
Yeah,
in the
right.
Ball.
That right. And what you do is you're. I'm gonna be kind here, and you can disagree with me. You're an exercise freak.
I used to be. I'm getting too old now, but yes, I used to be.
Yeah, right. And that is a proper way to go ahead and deal that. Well, what's interesting, what I want to get on the table here is as you came up with your paragraph or your sentence, you used the D and the C traits together. And when you put those two together, there is a lot of tension that is a part of who you are, okay? And it's important to understand what it looks like and have an action plan so it doesn't get out of control. Now I'm going to have David go ahead and read his. Go ahead, David.
As a high SI and a low DC blend, I naturally act patiently because I want harmony and routine. If I perceive that I may face or fear rejection and confrontation, I will respond by placing blame and non-participation.
Okay, and so what you can do again is read the incongruency here. If Tess is going ahead and you projecting anger, David shuts down, and it doesn't go well. And you got to understand you're only human. And when you're frustrated and your goal is blocked, Tess, it would indicate there's a lot of energy that builds up because you haven't solved the problem. You want to solve the problem, and it's normal that you have a problem, which makes you intense, which causes your tone of voice to be a little critical. And that's normal.
Yes, yes.
And David's on the receiving end of then. He gets quiet and shuts down.
Correct.
You know, and this is predictable stuff. And it's one of those things to say, okay, I don't want to do this. Okay. But, and I understand it. But we have to go ahead and go one step further and looking at the ugly side of this, where it could go. And the strategy that we're going to go ahead and use is we don't want to go there. Okay. So let's go ahead and look and see what conflict looks like. Okay. What does conflict look like? Go ahead and read that. Read your test. Read the conflict thing.
As a high DC and low IS blend, facing conflict, I am most comfortable being decisive and structured. When I feel fears of illogical action or being wrong, it causes tension for me. Under tension, I may demand action or challenge others. If this intensifies the conflict, I may withhold contact or use punitive actions.
Okay. And the one where you get into that final level, the withholding of contact, can be interpreted by David as rejection because of who he is, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And that's we'll let David go ahead and read yours. David, where do you go with yours?
Okay. It's a high SI and low DC blend facing conflict. I am most comfortable being supportive and a team player. When I feel fears of rejection and confrontation, it causes tension for me. Under tension, I may comply and become quiet. If this intensifies a conflict, I may stuff or use passive-aggressive behavior.
Stuffing and passive behavior is deadly. And if this happens in your relationship, you know, it'll destroy your relationship if you don't know how to get unstuck. If you continue to go ahead and do this particular dance, and it's very common between S's and D's, the D's get frustrated and they withhold contact, and the S goes ahead and stuffs their feelings and uses passive-aggressive behavior, you spend too much time in it, it'll ruin the relationship. And what I'm trying to say with this exercise, what is so important is to say, never get to the fourth level. It is not healthy. We've got to do something else. And that something else is this next exercise, which is the relational thing. And I really spend an enormous amount of time with couples to go ahead and really know how to practice this particular exercise here. Press, I want to hear from you. How would you, if I'm going to go ahead and create an environment where you feel loved and we're working together, we're clicking along as a team, what would you suggest to me that I do for you?
Be direct, be logical, be specific, and focus on action. Relate to me with accurate data and patient answers. In reinforcing me, give the bottom line, give me control, and give me support. When I'm under stress, you can be helpful if you respect my privacy and then get out of the way.
And David, what does this, the understanding that you've got to come through, that when she needs to go ahead and be private and just, you know, get off by herself, that is a need for recharging. How do you handle that by not going to the rejection thinking process? Does that ever happen? Or how do you train yourself not to go there? If her most helpful thing is just to be by herself and just get away and exercise. Do you understand what I'm asking you?
Oh, yes, I do. I think it's something that we both have talked about, because she can come in from a day at work and it's been very intense, and she just needs some time.
Uh-huh.
And sometimes she wants the space, and sometimes she doesn't. So I try to gauge and find out, do you need some space? And sometimes the answer is no. But sometimes it's yes, so I will literally go to another room or something like that and give her some time just to kind of transition. Did you say that?
I would. The hard part with that, though, is just like with all of this, it's such a delicate dance. Dealing with a D is a very delicate dance because you never know from moment to moment what's going to happen.
And what is important that David just said in your relationship is to ask the question, where are you? And I do this with Linda. Linda's an IC, so she's not DC. But I always have to check signals because there's two different needs there that can come into play. And I don't know which one is at the moment. So I've just got to ask questions. So I applaud what you're doing, David, by asking a question. I just need to know where you are. And that's what you're doing, right? You know, that's what he's doing. And so he's trying to say, what is the need of the moment? What do I need to do for you right now? Are you in your D mode or your C mode? You know, and this is the wonderful thing about this, is you can use that letter to go ahead and validate where are they, what, you know, define the need of the moment. Now, I've had Tess read her. Now I'm going to have David read his. David, what do you got?
Sure. It says, as a high SI and low DC blend, my suggestion to others in responding to me is be non-threatening and allow time to process. Relate to me with friendly tones and non-verbal assurances. In reinforcing me, give me time to process and give support. And when I'm under stress, you can be helpful if you give assurances and a hug.
Okay. And your love language is touch, right?
Correct. And words of affirmation.
You know, words of affirmation. So the love language and the best thing you can do for me kind of come together with that particular profile. So it's important that you understand what's the most helpful thing to do, and then go ahead and do it. You don't have to understand it. You just have to do it. Tess, what are your love languages? What do you do? Acts of service.
Yeah.
Ken,
you cracked a joke. No, mine are quality time, and
okay.
They shift. Honestly, mine shift, but quality time and physical touch.
Okay,
are probably the biggies.
Okay, very good. Well, I appreciate what you guys have done, and you've been very, very, very helpful in going through this, and I'm hoping that we said something helpful to the listeners here that they can go ahead and use this incredible tool.
Can I add something, Ken?
Yeah, I was going to ask you one thing. Is this what is your greatest takeaway? But go ahead and comment. Go ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to share, David and I talk about this all the time. We've taken this these profile things probably 4 or 5 times now since we've been together, and they have been invaluable for us because they've enabled us to understand each other's personalities and our styles, not as something that threatens who we each are and makes us want to change, but as we just are different. And when we have something come up, we are getting better and better at identifying and verbalizing it as, oh, I get where you're coming from because that's your S, or vice versa. So
mm-hmm.
we use the tools and the language of this a lot, and it helped.
Mm-hmm. It is huge to have a language of understanding to one another with an action plan to understand. Then the person's not weird. He just has a different need, or she has a different need. And to come up with something that's going to be proactive in maintaining the relationship. That's what I hear you saying.
Yes.
David, what's your biggest takeaway from the material? And then we're going to shut it down here. And
I would say that what Tess just said, that we use this an awful lot. Sometimes we'll discuss it, but sometimes before I say something to Tess, I think, okay, because of her personality, this is how she may hear it, but I want to make sure what she hears is what I'm trying to communicate.
Mm-hmm.
And conversely, Tess will often say to me, I want you to understand I'm not attacking you, or force that back, and she will share what's going on. But she prefaces what she says with something like that. Then I don't take it personally, which is
right
to do, or an I or an S.
And so what you're doing is you're serving needs back and forth to set up what needs to be said or whatever, so the other person doesn't shut down on you or get angry on it. You use the tool to go ahead and enhance positive communication. Is that a fair statement?
Yes.
Okay. Why don't I close this in a word of prayer and then open it up to questions? Do you guys want to stay on, or you want to go off? And I understand. I don't want to impose on you anymore. You did a great job.
We can, okay. If anyone has specific questions for us, we can hang on for a few minutes. And if you all are done with us, let us know.
Okay, very good. Well, let me just close in a prayer. Word of prayer here, and then turn it back over to Barbara. Father, thank you for David and Tess and their willingness to come on. And what my prayer is that we said something to encourage those that are listening to go ahead and understand what an important tool we have here on how to go ahead and build relationships and figure out how to love one another. And that's what it's all about. So we just leave it at that, and we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you, Ken. Thank you, David and Tess. It was just such an enlightening experience to just sit and listen to you debrief and share your thoughts about that. So I'd like to go ahead in the last, just the 5 minutes that we have here, open it up. If you've put your calls on mute, you can just hit *6. David and Tess, we'd love to have you hang on for another 5 minutes so that if there are questions specific to either one of you, we would enjoy your response to that. So *6, and if anyone has a question, we'll just go ahead and open it up.
This is Harry. When you all were filling in the statements on the last few charts, to what extent did you really focus on the items that are in the little boxes, and to what extent were you kind of going into your heart and answering the question, maybe with looking at the little boxes, but not really not sticking to that specific phrase that was listed there?
I can answer that. For me, I was focusing very directly and intensely on those boxes because they were completely accurate. I did not extrapolate from my own personal feelings at all.
And I would add that that's pretty true for me. There are a couple of times I may have deviated and pulled from another column, so to speak, but by and large, they're quite accurate.
The other thing, and my comment was, any time that their plotting point, and it's a great point you make, plotting point is near the midline, I let them go ahead and look at the entire continuum. They can go outside the box. But I give them the freedom to go outside the box if they want to, if there's a better answer. But that's a starting point, to superimpose their profile on those boxes and see if it is accurate. But they have the freedom to go ahead and use different terms if you feel that there's some. What I'm looking for is accuracy, to tell you what is that subject that's validated by a particular trait. So so I do give them some degree of freedom, but the starting point would be in the box. Good question.
Thank you, Harry. Are there other questions or comments from anyone?
This is Bill Harris in Toledo, Ohio. Ken, I didn't quite understand what you were saying on page 3 about validating things before you got into the full-blown discussion. Could you just give me a recap of that, please?
Sure. Okay. Are you on page 3?
Yes, I am.
Okay. What I did there is I have Tess. I'm going to use Tess as an example. Okay, Bill? And
okay.
I had Tess, I want you to look at the continuum of the D and the continuum of the C. So her focus is on those two continuums, all right?
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Then what I'm asking us is I want you to go through each one of the categories, in other words, primary drive, preferred task, mm-hmm. that type of thing, and I want you to look at that. And I'm going to go through the first two. What Tess came up with, she looked at the two statements there, one in the primary drive being independent and one with mm-hmm. correctness. And I asked her to pick the one that is more accurate, and she picked correctness. Then she went to the
okay.
next level, and it's a preferred task, as challenging and structured. She mm-hmm. chose challenging. So she just goes down the list like that and circles, and it's a forced choice, Bill, that
uh-huh.
she's got a forced choice which one is most accurate. Okay, they're both true.
Mm-hmm.
They're both true.
Mm-hmm.
But which is most accurate, that type of thing. In your particular case, my understanding is you have got some I tendencies. Is that a fair statement?
Right, right.
Okay, so you would be looking at the I. What else is above midline, Bill? What else?
My S.
S. So those are the two that you would be looking. You're looking at the I or the S. And I'm going to go with the primary drive. I would be asking you then, are you more interactive or more stable? Not saying that they're neither. Both of them are true. Which is your best choice? And so
mm-hmm.
you circle that one, and you get going down. And then when you get to the bottom there, you total up the circles in each one of the continuums. And what
uh-huh.
I'm doing there is trying to say, if you were to do that, and you can do that yourself. And let Ann
mm-hmm.
go ahead and give critique, and she can tell you if you're getting stuck
right.
somewhere. That's my attempt at humor. but the issue is, as you go through that, where do you have more circles in the I continuum than you have in the S continuum?
Uh-huh.
And knowing you, you've got more I, and that should validate that your I is your highest plotting point. Does that make sense?
That's excellent.
See, what I'm trying to do is validate graph number 4 in the natural style. And sometimes we miss, so that the secondary may be even more higher, type of thing. But it's a way to go ahead and validate that. And that's how I use those two tools to help you doing that. So you had an excellent question. Have I done a decent job explaining it?
Yes, you have. It made it very crystal clear.
Okay.
If I may follow up on that, what happens if the second style actually gets more circles than the first style? Do you assume that you need to reverse your code?
Well, what you're looking for then is that you may need to do a retake if it's really, really, distorted or whatever. But where you can go ahead and validate that even further is when you go through these four exercises, you're going to be choosing more traits in the secondary, and that again validates that. And if you validate it twice, you may need to take do a reassessment. But it just gives you a kind of a red flag if you're highest plotting point is not the one that you have the most. But again, it's just an indication that could be the truth. And as you go through those four exercises and you pick more of the one that is secondary, then it may want to go ahead and retake the assessment, okay? But the beautiful part about the biblical profile is you have some information that gets into those classical patterns and biblical characters. So, if it's not that far off, you just understand it's a different classical pattern that you're dealing with. So you have all the tools there to go ahead and do the adjustment if it's necessary. But these are ways in which you can go ahead and go to validate who you are from a natural standpoint. It's absolutely critical to go ahead and do that in order to come up with a strategy to love you. Great question, guys.
Hey Ken, it's Jeff. Can I just add something for everyone to be aware of before you close this call? I think it's important to understand. David and I, you mentioned, had been married before, and everyone should know that I was married to a man very similar in personality to David, and David was married to a woman very similar to my personality, and both our marriages fell apart in large part because of the differences. It's fascinating for David and I now to be married in similar marriages to what we left, and yet because we have had this tool to help us understand the other person through this lens, it has made all the difference in how successful our marriage can be.
And what we're saying is you have a strategy to become complementary rather than do the dance of conflict. That's
exactly
that is what the tool has the potential to do. But to enhance that, it is your relationship with Jesus Christ that gives you the power and to go ahead and accommodate those incongruencies. I mean you've got your value system is absolutely critical to that process, in my opinion.
Fair point.
Can I ask one more question? On page 4, where you have the adaptive behavioral style and the natural behavioral style, could you tell me the steps for completing the one below, the graph below, and what that will do for the session that you're having with a couple?
What I simply do is if we have validated the national style, I like to put the two graphs together. And it is a visual thing that I try to go ahead and do. I said, for you to have balance in your relationship, you've got to have all the colors coming into play. And when they do that, that graph is designed to do the what we call the completing the completingness of the relationship. In Tess and David's category, what they have that potential, Bill. They do.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
mm-hmm.
what if you're in a relationship where you've got a color missing? Okay? And uh-huh. by putting them together like that, you can see, well, we don't have any red or green or whatever. That is going to be the blind spot in your relationship, and you have to recognize that. That is one of the key things to understand. What is the makeup of that of your profile? What makes you unique? And is there a blind spot there? And if that's going to be aware of that and seek, you know, counsel, if you get into a real critical decision where it has to be that as a believer that has that strength and that skill as a counselor. But it helps. Mm-hmm. It gives you a quick picture, Bill, of what is the makeup of that of the relationship and how balanced can you be, complementary can you be, and is there a blind spot? So that's the function of that. Does that help?
Okay. Yes, it does. One other question, I guess this is more philosophical than anything else. What do you do, Ken, when you come across people who say that, well, you know, that this thing you do may be nice, but I think I would rather rely on God giving me the personal insight into this person, and that you're doing seems to be more with sense knowledge, you know, the five senses, namely behavioral sight and all of that, and it's not that quote-unquote spiritual. How do you convince this individual of the merits of this and how immeasurable it can be to them?
Well, what I do is I always, now you're talking about how I go ahead and bring the spiritual into the mix, okay?
Yes.
And that's the strength of the biblical test. If they're into that and the scriptures is important to them, they said, okay, let me go ahead and talk to you about your behavioral style as a biblical character and biblical model type of thing. So I go into where they're comfortable and go ahead and try to show them that character and God's love for that character. You know, they feel comfortable and secure with regard to the scriptures. Take them there.
Mm-hmm.
And that, yeah. To me, that's the strength of the biblical disc. If that's where they're coming from, and I hope they are, and when
yes.
I teach at Dallas Seminary, I always spend an hour just taking a particular style to a biblical character and showing the relationship of that character to Christ. In other words, I do Paul and I go through the flesh side of Paul and the fact that Christ's love for him, for you know, to turn him around and show that model, which is the three R's, on how he could be
mm-hmm.
used by God. So I take them to the scriptures, and the scriptures are powerful with regard to the relational thing. And that's my forte. I always go to the scripture to answer that question.
Mm-hmm.
To me, the disc is secondary. The scriptures
okay.
is the primary. Okay?
Yes. Excellent. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you for that question, Bill, and thanks, everybody. I'm going to just honor everybody's time here as we're now past the hour, but I know that Ken would want me to say this. If you have other questions or would like to dialogue, you can email Ken at krvoges, that's V-O-G-E-S, at AOL.com. You can ask him your questions or even set up a time to speak with him, as the same with Rich and I, you can do that. So I want to thank you all for joining us. And Tess, I want to especially say thank you for that final comment that you made. I think that really sums up what we're all trying to do, and that is to help individuals really understand their behavioral styles and what a difference that can make. That the two of you were actually married to similar people, but now that you have the disc, those similarities, you were married to similar in your first marriage, but you had those same dissimilar patterns in your behavior, and now what a difference disc has made. So thank you again, Tess. Thank you, David. We appreciate your time. Ken, as always, you've given us so much that we can use. And to all of you for joining us, thank you. And I hope you'll join us again for our next call in March. So with that said, we say goodbye and good night to all.
Thank you very much.
Good night.
Thank you.
Goodbye.
All right. Thank you. Good night.
Good night. Mm-hmm.